Where Murder Meets Mystery contains graphic and explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, cool friends, let's take a walk down the street where Murder Meets Mystery, a podcast exploring the murderous, the mysterious, and everything that lies beyond the beyond. I'm Grace.
And I'm Trevor.
And I'm Scarlett.
Scarlett's here! She's Trevor's lady.
Yeah, we got our shit together and now we're trying to like figure out how to get this microphone to catch all of us. Anyways, if it sounds different, girlfriends, it's because we're trying something new and trying to get somebody onto the podcast. So,
yeah, we got a little impromptu guest, I would say. Mm-hmm. We're at Trevor's house and it's like, Scar,
let's do it.
Yeah, so Scarlett's here. So, wow.
And we're all here.
I don't even want to, like, I can't even necessarily place this in time because this is coming out, like, 3 months after or whatever.
I know. Eventually, we'll be professional podcasters and we'll talk about how far ahead it is.
But, well, I think.
Because we'll just be like, this is this date and it's Thanksgiving. Wow.
Right. So, today's.
We'll be able to play pretend.
Today it is it's in January, so yeah. I'm going to ask about your New Year's.
Okay, well, New Year's was great. I have had a great New Year's. We rung in the New Year with our sister Molly and her boyfriend, and that was really cool. We didn't really, like, go up to the bars. It's not really our scene, but we still rang in the New Year with friends and had our midnight's kiss, and it was all nice.
Yeah. Played some board games. Well, nearly missed New Year's, like... We were literally pouring champagne with like 5 seconds until the clock struck midnight.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good way to celebrate, you know? Like kind of low key.
Yeah. How about
you? I watched Casino Royale, which I had never seen.
It's the best of. So that's James Bond, right? The Daniel Craig James Bond.
Yeah, but I liked Skyfall. I really like Skyfall.
Yeah, Skyfall's up there. I had seen Casino Royale before Skyfall, and I thought that Casino Royale was one of the better ones. And when we rewatched it, I still liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But it and Skyfall are, like, up there for one and two.
It was really good. I had never seen it. The only Daniel Craig Bond one I had seen is... A Daniel Craig Bond sounds like a psychological concept, doesn't it? Like, oh, the poor... That poor guy.
Yeah.
He's Daniel Craig bonded to his wife. Are you into Daniel Craig bondage?
Yeah. Do you think Daniel Craig is bonded to Daniel Craig in a Daniel Craig
bond
to Daniel Craig's
wife? You bet your Daniel Craig loving ass. For sure. Yeah, no. So Skyfall was the only one I had seen. And so I watched Casino Royale. It was very good. And then it's funny, my sister FaceTimed me she tried to FaceTime me at 11:59 and she FaceTimed me at midnight. She was like, hold on, 5:04. And I was like, it's already midnight. I'm trying to tell her. And she kept like talking and I'm like, bitch, whatever. It's fine.
Don't mind me if I interrupt you just to bring in the new.
Right. And it's fine. I celebrated a minute before she fucking figured it out. I was like, oh, it's 12. I'm like, oh, man. Okay. Anyway, so I've got a doozy for you, Trev and Scar. And this is very exciting. They're both looking at me like, I'm sorry I disappointed you, mom and dad. I feel terrible. Your mother and I will not be funding your college education.
Yeah, we're all sitting on the couch, like, flanking each other in a line, so.
Flanking was a poor
That's
word
a term.
Choice. That's a term.
It's a tactic.
I hate it. A tactic to do what?
Like a war tactic?
Yeah, for, like, battlefield
fucking
strategy.
Making me sweat. That's what flanking... Not in a good way. Oh. Don't make that face. Flanking. Gross. You're right. Isn't it a football thing, too? Like, they, like, encroach?
Maybe. Encroach is definitely a word. I don't know if they flank, necessarily,
well,
but they could.
But we're
know.
Not encroaching.
Like if you're,
that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, if you run around to this, like, side of the football, or, like, not the football, the quarterback, then yeah, you're technically flanking the quarterback, like in this blind
spot. I love what you just said, though, where you're like, encroaching is a word.
It's a word. It's a word you could use.
It's like, I know, bitch.
I meant to say football term, but yeah.
Encroaching is a word. Yep.
Yeah, it's a word.
Good job. Big word. Okay, so I've got a very famous case for you guys that you probably have heard of.
Okay.
And this is like one of the most hotly contested true crime cases. This is one of the most hotly contested, highly contested. What is it? Hotly?
Highly.
Influential?
Highly contested. Hotly.
Hotly contested.
Because it's warm in this room.
Well, it's very, there's, speaking of hotness, that is involved here. Okay, so it's one of the most highly contested cases in true crime, and it's very controversial, and I would say pretty evenly divided, at least at the beginning it was. And one of the first, one of the most sensational televised trials. Mm. And that's the Menendez brothers. Do you guys know about this?
I think I do.
Okay.
But I don't know any of the details. Like, I can't remember what... Were they with a company?
So I gotta be real, I was not expecting you guys to not know who they are. So I kind of like planned. No, they're not with a company.
Okay. I think I've heard the name, but I haven't... It's not in my repertoire of, like, YouTube videos that I've listened to.
It's one of the, like... It's up there with JonBenet and OJ and... And they all kind of happened within like 10 years of each other. Oh. The 80s and 90s, I mean, people be killing, you know?
Yeah. Well,
people be murdering.
People also be born. Because yeah, that's when we were all born. So that's
true. But we'll catch up. We'll catch on quickly.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll cover it.
I'm sure you've heard parts of it.
Probably, yeah.
So basically, I guess I'll just start. I was going to, like, give you a premise, but that's the whole reason I have. So this is a two-parter, Girlfriends, because it's very involved. And it was one of those, like all of my two-parters, it did not start out as a two-parter. I was going to make it one part. And then I fell down a rabbit hole, and I was like, my case is 7 pages. Let me cut it in half. And so I did. And hopefully I left it at, like, a clean break. But here we go. Okay. So growing up, Kitty Anderson saw her dad leave her mother for another woman and decided then that she wanted more for herself. And she wanted to marry rich and have the security her mother never did. Kitty studied radio and television at Southern Illinois University and wanted to work in entertainment. Kitty's dreams of wealth were pretty prophetic, after all, because in college she met a man named Jose Menendez, who had fled Cuba at the age of 16 and had big dreams of success in America, getting that coin.
Get in that corn. Secure the bag.
Yes. Secure the bag. The two married in 1963.
Wait.
Yes?
Her name's Kitty?
Her name is Mary Louise, I believe, but her nickname was Kitty. And on Dateline, they were interviewing her sister, who said that their brother actually gave her the nickname when she was younger. It sounded kind of fucking weird to me. They were like laughing like fondly. So her brother gave her the nickname. And he goes, I didn't even think about it until now, that's like really fucking weird.
It's kind of strange.
So the story was that he was taking her to the movies or something, because he was quite a bit older than her. And he was like, here, kitty.
Oh,
I know, right? So, but that's where the nickname comes from. That's why that's not her given name.
Okay.
But Kitty is like an old fashioned nickname, but for someone named like Catherine.
Yeah.
Not Mary Louise.
Yeah.
So
Kitty is not her confirmation name.
It's not her,
government name.
Yeah.
Name.
Yeah. So Kitty is, yeah. But that's what she went by. And everyone called her that from a very young age.
All right. Well.
And speaking of like, well, that's not even until part two, so never mind. Okay. They had two sons named Lyle and Eric, born 2 years apart. The boys were very close, and Eric really depended on his big brother. The ambition that had attracted Kitty to Jose so early on was something that he instilled in his sons as well, and others described Jose as a very driven and very intense parent, pushing Eric and Lyle to practice their sports endlessly and be the best in everything they did. According to Dateline, in the 70s, Jose was the general manager at Hertz and one day brought the company's very famous spokesperson, an athlete known as O.J. Simpson, home to dinner. Jose had found unprecedented success in pursuing the American dream, and he was determined to see his sons carry on that level of success. This drive was apparent to everyone who knew the family. In Jose took a job. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay, Grace. Hold on.
Also, we love that he wanted his sons to inherit the drive for sports and murder.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
With O.J.
Right,
with
exactly. Himself. So Jose took a job in 1986 with renowned production company. Hold on, I fucked that up. Okay. Jose took a job in 1986 with a renowned production company called Carol Co. Pictures and found success early on. The company had recently acquired a video distribution business called Live Entertainment and enlisted Jose to run the operation. Jose seemingly had it all, and in 1989, he found something that completed the picture, the perfect home in Beverly Hills. He moved his family from Calabasas, California, of Kardashian fame. Mm-hmm. This was, at the time, a very little-known enclave of Los Angeles. It was like, until the Kardashians made it famous, it really wasn't well-known, and now all the Los Angeles elite and Hollywood elite are flocking to that area because they really, like, brought a lot of money there.
Because this was in, like, the 1970s?
1980s. This is 1989.
Okay. Yeah. So it took it a while. I mean, California's kind of blown up, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's interesting that it's, like, he knew OJ, the Kardashians were there.
Very weird.
It's kind of an interesting connection.
I have to sneeze.
Whoa.
Did you just sneeze?
No.
Oh, I thought you sneezed.
There was such a pause that she thought that you lost your sneeze.
You looked so disappointed.
I betrayed me. I thought I did lose it, and then it surprised me. Okay. Okay. No. Let's see. So he moved his family from Can you fucking get your shit together, please?
I just was waiting for it to make that noise.
Okay, so they moved a mansion.
There's some bourbon over there.
Like, yeah, right? Oh my god. I'm claustrophobic in here. Okay. So Jose moved his family from Calabasas of Kardashian fame to a mansion in the 90210 Beverly Hills. 722 North Elm Drive is the address, and this became very famous. And this was famous already. It was a well-known house. It's a six-bedroom mansion with a swimming pool, a guest home, a tennis court, and it was previously owned by Elton John, a Saudi prince, and even Prince himself lived in this house.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wait, so this is probably not related at all. But this doesn't have anything to do with the Nightmare on Elm Street.
No.
Okay.
Good. Just interesting connection.
Yeah.
No, Wes Anderson had not caught on. So this was Wes Craven.
I don't know.
Who did Nightmare on Elm Street? I'm Googling it.
I'm not sure.
Wes Anderson is like Moonrise Kingdom. I don't think it's the same. Elm Street director. I think it's Wes Craven. Or is that the guy? Yeah, Wes Craven. That's who I meant, girlfriends.
You caught yourself.
I said Wes Anderson. That's Moonrise Kingdom. That's different. Okay. Anyway, at this point, so, I mean, this is like an overarching theme, I would say, in this story is wealth. Because they were just, that's what you need to remember, is they were just fucking loaded. Like, so much money. And we'll talk a little bit about the inflation and, like, how it translates. But because, I mean, inflation... Like, they would be billionaires today, easily. So, at this point, Lyle was a student at Princeton in 1989, and Eric was headed to UCLA that year. This all changes on August 20th, 1989, when a 911 operator gets a call from a hysterical young man named Lyle Menendez. So, I'm going to play the call for you. The audio is a little, like, garbled, so I'm going to cite it in the show notes. Or Trevor is. Thank you, Trev.
Okay.
So you can, you guys can listen to it yourself, but I'm going to play it here.
Beverly Hills emergency.
Yes, please.
What's the problem? What's the problem?
I'm sorry, tell my parents.
Pardon me? What? Who? Are they still there?
Yeah.
The people?
No, no, no.
Were they shot?
Okay, so we're going to stop it there. It goes on for like 8 minutes. But what are your thoughts?
He sounds really distraught.
Yeah.
Like, he's, how you would expect someone to sound if they walked in on their parents.
That's
shot.
So true, because like normally when I play a 911 call, almost always they're like, something's off. Like they act weird or not how you would expect. But did you guys notice that he was calm at the beginning? He was like, yeah, we're the sons of, and he kind of cuts off. And then he goes, Eric, man, don't. And he's talking to his brother's name is Eric. And then he's like, someone kill my parents. And then he starts crying. And so it's like, but then he's like very clearly hysterical. So maybe he was like calm for the beginning and then lost it. I don't know. So, but anyway, so he calls 911 saying, someone kill my parents. They were shot. Okay. Murders in Beverly Hills were extremely rare, especially at this time, averaging just 2 a year. The detective was called to the mansion and walks in. He enters the library slash, they refer to the library and also the den, but it's the TV room, I guess, is what you would call it. The first thing he sees is Jose Menendez sitting up on the couch, slumped to one side, his face completely disfigured from a shotgun blast.
Ooh.
He had a shotgun blast to his thigh and his and both of his knees, and Kitty Menendez was curled in a fetal position at his feet, had been shot many times, including point blank in the face, a shot which had removed her right eye. Jose and Kitty were each shot 15 times, having apparently been relaxing on the couch at the time. The TV in the den was on, and an empty bowl of ice cream was sitting. I heard ice cream and berries with cream, so I don't really know what they were eating, but I think it was it. I know cream was involved.
They had a snack.
Yeah.
I don't think it's important.
So it was an empty bowl. It was an empty bowl of Lucky Charms.
For the record, there was berries and cream.
Yeah, there was berries and there were cream.
Oh my God.
There were berries. There was berries and there were cream.
There were damn berries and there was damn cream.
Yeah, well, it would seem if it was berries and cream, if they had berries on their ice cream and then it melted by the time the cops got there.
That's true.
Yeah, like strawberry ice cream.
So
but
true.
Then berries and cream.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm a
sleuth.
Mr. Forensics. I'm a sleuth. It's like, it's giving JonBenet, because when they found like the only thing in her stomach was milk and pineapple, and apparently this was a common snack that she had, was a bowl of milk with pineapple.
Like cereal,
isn't
but
that
just
gross?
Like pineapple cereal.
Yeah, and
chunk.
That's what I'm thinking of. Like a bowl of milk with berries.
Ew.
Weird.
You know, I feel like when you're a parent, sometimes you do some weird shit to like get your kids to eat.
That's true. Maybe it worked.
Stuff.
Maybe it worked.
Like it's
know.
Like cereal, but it's fruit.
Did you know Jerry Seinfeld's wife had a cookbook called Deceptively Delicious, and it's about putting veggies and shit to get your kids to eat, like cupcakes with zucchini in them.
I love that.
This queen invented zucchini bread. I'm telling you, they're already fucking billionaires, so it doesn't matter. Okay, whatever. Okay, so this bowl of ice cream, berries, pineapple, and milk was sitting on the coffee table. There's no sign of a break-in. The detective notices right away that there are no shotgun shells, and this leads him to believe that somebody had collected them. Lyle was 21 and Eric was 18, and they go to talk to the police. They said that they had come home, and they had come and gone from the house several times that day and had planned on seeing a movie that evening, but it had been sold out. They wanted to see a James Bond movie, weirdly enough. But it was sold out, so they saw The Batman, which they had seen before. They told police that they had seen it before. Now, something that strikes me odd about this is that at that time, there's no streaming, no DVDs, new movies didn't appear on television. So assuming this movie was new, and it's showing in theaters for what, like a month, 2 months? How long is a movie in theaters?
It's got to be like a month or two.
So they would be seeing this movie twice in 2 months.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know. That's weird to me.
It is weird.
I mean, I saw The Greatest Showman like 4 times in theaters.
I love that movie. Oh my God.
If you really like the movie, so that's one thing. Then the other thing is, like, if you were going out to the movies like they were.
Yeah.
And you wanted to see a certain movie, but it sold out, then you're like, well, I don't want to just go home.
Yeah.
We're already here. Let's go see The Batman again because it was good or it was
Yeah, okay, maybe it's not that weird.
Is like it called The Batman?
Because that's what it was called, The Batman. I don't know, maybe
The Batman.
That's what they said on Dateline. Dateline. Is The Batman.
Well, he is The Batman.
Isn't that what the movie was
like,
called?
Like, was it the Batman? First Batman movie?
That would have been the Jack Nicholson the... where he was the Joker.
In the Let's 80s. Look it up.
The, oh, I need to cite that. I'm going to keep that. Okay. The,
89?
Yeah, The Batman.
89?
This is 2022.
1989. Oh, maybe the new Batman that's coming out.
It was
out
just called Batman.
Huh.
And it was Jack Nicholson as the Joker, Michael Keaton.
Okay, so maybe it was just Batman, but they called it the Batman, or I don't know. Maybe
this was
just...
when Michael Keaton was trying to undo... Wait, I don't know if this was pre-Beetlejuice. But he was trying to undo the Beetlejuice damage because he's like, I'm a serious actor.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm the Batman.
Yeah.
He is the Batman.
Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, so they see it twice. They had plans to go out that evening and went home to pick up Eric's fake ID, and they recount stepping into the house and smelling gunpowder, noting a haze in the air. Walking into the den, they see their parents dead and immediately call 911. Quote, Lyle and Eric Menendez were the grieving sons, a former reporter for the LA Times said in 1989. According to this reporter, there was speculation at that time that the couple had been taken out by the mob. Both Jose and Kitty had been shot in the knees, and kneecapping is a mafia signature. I mean, it would not be unprecedented that somebody as high-powered and wealthy as Jose Menendez... Is that a stroke?
Maria Menounos.
Jose Menendez. She cannot keep her grimy little paws off anything. She's on clever TV on the fucking gas pumps. Hi, Maria Menounos. Fuck off.
That's the only thing I know her from is she's the gas lady.
No, that's me.
And she just has like an interesting name, but she's also like ageless in the fact that I don't know how old she is.
She's so hot.
Like she could be in her 20s or she could be in her 40s.
She could fucking get it any day of the week.
I don't know.
The gas lady.
She keeps me at BP, I'm telling you.
I don't know. With low standards for just to being the gas lady, I don't know if I can stoop that low.
She was on Entertainment Tonight with, what's his name?
Ryan Seacrest?
No, not Ryan Seacrest. Who's, what's his name? He does The Soup. And he's on Community. What's his name?
Oh, shit. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's like a younger
Joel
Ryan
McHale.
Seacrest.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yep. That's him. But she was on either on The Soup or on E.T. I don't know. Something like that. So anyway, there's this speculation about the mob. Something that supports the mob theory is that the live entertainment company distributed all kinds of films, including children's films, but got its start in porn, which reporters say is often tied to organized crime. So the thing here to note is that Jose, it handled pornography before Jose took it over, in which case, in where he transitioned from porn into like more serious films. The previous owner of the company, a guy named Noel Bloom, later becomes a suspect, and I'll kind of talk about why, because he and Jose had very different ideas about how live entertainment should be run. And I'm pretty sure that Noel Bloom, if I had to guess, he probably still had part ownership or owned stocks or something like that. So maybe he was on the board. So he had some sort of say, and he and Jose butted heads all the time about whether or not live entertainment should produce porn.
Oh.
Because Noel Bloom was all about the porn.
He wanted that live action porn.
Bloom was about the boom boom.
Yep. Bloom was about the bloom bloom.
The bloom bloom.
I'm sure it made much more money. Makes much more money.
Yeah. So there had actually been a homicide a few weeks before in the Valley, and the brothers told investigators that their dad had used it as a teaching opportunity, saying the man had been in the pornography business and that this is what happens if you get into porn. So for some reason he was worried about his sons being in porn. I don't know. He was like, this is what happens. I don't know. Jose was known for being aggressive and cutthroat in business, and investigators theorized, and they found two rifles in his bedroom, that Jose could have been worried someone was after him. So, like, it comes out as, you know, as time goes on, all their skeletons in all of their closets are being aired, right? All their dirty laundry. And so Jose made many enemies because of his like super intense and like aggressive approach. And Noel Bloom has a lot to say about that. So following the murders, the brothers actually hired bodyguards and voiced their suspicions early on, leading investigators to their first suspect, Noel Bloom, the man who had sold Jose the very video production company that had brought him so much success. Eric told investigators that Jose and Noel despised each other, each having different visions for the company, with Noel Bloom still involved in adult entertainment. So at that time, Noel Bloom had moved on from live entertainment, but was still in porn. So this was a sensation from the beginning, this case, and Carol Co. Pictures was actually hurting. With the mafia rumors floating around, people thought twice before engaging in business with a company that had potentially criminal involvement. The company hired a publicist and painted the picture of Jose as a beloved man in Hollywood, when in reality, despite his tremendous success, he was not that well known and was actually hated by like the people he worked with. After spending a night at Hotel Bel Air, which is super hoity-toity, like I can't think of anything fancy.
Fancy? Yeah. The Ritz. Like 5-star.
Four Seasons.
The only word that came to my mind was hoity-toity.
Hoity-toity.
Yeah, anyway, so so they stayed the night at Hotel Bel Air. Lyle and Eric arrived late to their father's memorial, arriving in a chauffeured limousine. This did not help the public opinion that the boys were spoiled and rich and didn't care about their parents because they showed up late and they're in the limousine and they stayed at this hotel, whatever. So Kitty's sister Joan actually overhears a conversation between two of Jose's coworkers at his memorial that Jose was hated, having a reputation for humiliating other men at the company. Noel, to this day, adamantly denies his involvement, but stands by his word that Jose was ruthless and violent in the office, screaming at people often and firing employees who were not his inferiors, and then laughing. So he was firing people he had no place to fire. Like, right. He had no business firing, you know? Noel says that Jose and Kitty fought constantly, especially about Eric and Lyle, who Noel said seemed quiet, withdrawn, and definitely afraid of their father. Eric and Lyle pointed police toward Bloom from the beginning, saying they were afraid of him. The police called Noel Bloom in for one meeting to discuss the case officially. It was like an official interview, and that was enough for them to dismiss him of suspicion, as it indicated that he had no motive and no involvement. This thereby just dismissing the mafia, the possible mafia involvement, because Noel Bloom being in the adult entertainment industry would have been Jose's entry into organized crime. That was their theory anyway. So they were able to dismiss that possibility. The lead prosecutor says that the ravaging of Kitty and Jose would not indicate a mob hit. It was far too messy. So she just basically said, like, if it were a mob hit, she said, it's actually like it is in the movies where it's like a 38 to the back of the head, and they just like, that's a gun, right?
Yeah, that would just be like a pistol to the back of the head. But I see what you mean. It's like it would be efficient, quick,
yes,
and to send a message, not to like torture right. people with a shotgun and
shoot right. them 15 times.
Yeah, exactly. So she said it would be quick, clean, professional, and they left. You know, there's like, it's a using a shotgun is not mafia material, because it's like, it's way too messy. I mean, there's DNA everywhere. Anyway, so investigators knew that the scene had been staged because of the missing shell casings, but not because it was a mob hit, but to make it look like a mob hit. And ghoul friends, let me tell you, this case has been shocking up to this point and rife with controversy, but this was nothing compared to what investigators uncover next. And I will talk about that in part two. Maybe it's too short.
No, I like it.
Do I need to include more?
No, I think it's a perfect amount.
Okay, so let me hear your thoughts.
Okay.
I want to know reactions.
Okay, so them coming up like late to the funeral is weird.
Yes.
Limousine's weird. Hotel stays. Hotel in general is fine because they probably don't want to stay in the house that is now a crime scene.
Right,
and all
true.
That stuff.
I don't think but they were even allowed to stay there.
Right. But a ritzy hotel, it could just be a sign that they are rich and spoiled. I don't know. It could be a sign that they're just trying to blow some money. Like, if the motive was to, like, kill them and then inherit the money and do whatever they want with it, then, yeah, I can understand them doing the hotel stay and it being something that's, like, a blatant a blatant disregard for wealth at that point. Like, they didn't stay at, like, a thrifty hotel or anything.
True. La Quinta. What is it? La Quinta?
La Quinta.
Red Roof Inn.
La Quifa.
Yeah, the Red Roof Inn is what we would say. Or, like, a Red Super Roof Inn. A Super 8.
Yeah, Super 8.
Super 8.
Yeah, it's got okay. a number in the title.
All right, so... Yeah, so I was going to talk more about this in part two about how wealthy they are. But you, I mean, you saw you heard about the mansion and whatever. So at that time, Jose Menendez, his fortune was valued, his estate was valued at $14 million, which today is, oh my God.
A lot.
$33,612,532. Nope, I did that wrong.
Nope.
$33,612,532.26.
Yeah, so like it doubled almost.
Yeah, right. So I think that's, like I said, that's one of the main takeaways is like how fucking rich they were. Because that complicated everything. I think if this had been a poor family, it wouldn't have been so sensational. But the fact that it happened in Beverly Hills and the fact that it was like one of the first televised... It wasn't, so the first, I looked it up, the first televised murder trial was actually Ted Bundy's, and it happened in 1972. So that was, what, 17 years?
Prior.
Yep. But this was by far the most sensational. And then this is happening 2 or 3 years before OJ.
Right.
Which is in 92.
And that got a lot of press.
Oh, yeah. That was probably even bigger because... The only thing America values more than Hollywood is athletes.
Yeah.
So I think that was, and the fact that it was the conversation of race always draws a big media storm. So I'll have to cover that at some point.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe you do a little side note on it or something.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's connected to this case, even minorly, is so crazy. Like the fact that he like came over for dinner and that he like, So the Dateline kind of paints that dinner as like Jose constantly flaunting his wealth, even to his own children, like saying, like, just reminding them like how fortunate they should be. And like, this is how rich we are. And like, look, and like trying to impress everyone. Image was everything to him. And they say that they reiterate that so many times about how he was just obsessed with image and status and, not really fame, but just like how people viewed him and being the best at everything and the wealthiest and that kind of thing. So
yeah, he wanted to flex his like influence muscle in front of everybody that
right.
that he cared about.
Till he's dreaming.
I know.
I hear him snorting.
Yeah. And I think that tends to be the thing too with people who are poor and then
That's
come
true.
Into wealth. Like they... Because they haven't had it their whole lives, they use that as kind of like their measure for success. And
yeah.
they, you know, give love in that way and that kind of thing.
That's true. They're maybe less secure in there.
Yeah, they remember what it was like to not have it.
Right.
So they flaunt it when they can. But I think it's interesting. I know you're going to talk about it more in part two, but I think it is interesting that they're... It doesn't seem like at this point they have any suspicion that the brothers are involved in the murder at all.
No.
And is that just because of the 911 call?
No, I think it's because they're white and they're rich. Honestly, I think it's because they were just like, no, it couldn't possibly be.
And was the counterpart the guy who was in the porn industry?
No, let me look him up.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that he was in porn, like, that makes him sketchy, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. But for some reason, when they took him out of the case as being a suspect, that just kind of took the mafia out of it.
But like in the will and stuff like that, which you may get into more, but like if his sons are entitled to all of his wealth, like that should automatically make them a suspect.
That's what I thought, but I really think wealth clouded their judgment here. I think that's what it was. And that's the whole point is like, and that's how everyone kind of viewed that is like, by the way, girlfriends, if you haven't figured it out, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have heard of this case. But yeah, spoiler alert, they did kill their parents. So, but they, I mean, they like I'll talk again more about it in part two and like how the police find out and stuff like that. But it's actually really like they didn't even look, they weren't even investigating them until they got a tip from one of the friends or something like that. I don't remember exactly. So like they weren't even looking, they didn't even look into them until after they had investigated the Noel Bloom lead. So yeah, I would attribute that. Yeah. So I would attribute that to a few things. I would say one, that the Menendez brothers were wealthy and viewed as the grieving children. They're like, we're not going to touch that because they now stood to inherit $14 million estate and an additional $5 million from their mother's life insurance policy. So they stood to inherit all this money. They're really powerful. They're really influential. This whole thing is happening on national television, essentially. Yep. So it's like already a media sensation. I think that they had to tread really carefully. And then the second thing is that the police handled so few murders. I mean, this was only it was only averaging 2 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, they weren't very experienced.
Right. So like maybe they just didn't know. I don't know. But it's very easy for us to backseat police and be like, I mean, you're right that they're the first people I would check.
Yeah, like that's normally it's the spouse. Like,
right.
That would be the number one suspect is because those are the people that would inherit or gain the most from the murder.
Right. Yeah. Who's to gain? And that, I think, yeah. So, I mean, we'll talk way more about that in part two and just kind of like, I think it's interesting how it happens. And there's one key player in this case that I haven't introduced yet, and he's really important. So we'll talk about him next week.
Cool. I'm excited because I hadn't heard of this before, so which is
wild. I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
It's not as well known as OJ. In the true crime world, it is.
Yeah. Well,
it's like, it's the Menendez brothers, it's OJ, and it's JonBenet. And maybe like the Black Dahlia. Those are the four cases that I feel like are so covered in true crime. It's like, that's all people talk about.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to cover. It's like one of the core four.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you are. And the ones you just named, like, the only one I know more about would be, like, O.J. Simpson. But I still don't know, like, I can't recall every detail, so.
Yeah, the Black Dahlia was the reason why it was so, and I'll talk about that one, too, at some point. But she was an actress, or up-and-coming actress. She had moved from, like, somewhere in the Midwest and, like, moved to Hollywood and had dreams of, like, making it big. And her name was Elizabeth Short, I want to say. I don't remember exactly why they called her the Black Dahlia. But anyway, she was found. There were like, it was because of the way that she was found. And like, she basically was, they found her body, which had been dismembered in like a suburban yard. Like someone had just dumped her there.
Yeah.
And she was drained of blood.
Ooh.
Which just like what? And she had what they now call the Black Dahlia smile or the Joker smile, where they had cut her like this. And I don't, that one is just like particularly weird because it's unsolved. It's a very famous unsolved case. And people suspected a million different people in that case. Yeah. So that's another famous one that I would like to cover at some point.
Well, that's cool. I think you should.
Yeah. Sleep tight. So Trev.
Yeah.
I'm ready for you, buddy.
Switching gears.
Yeah.
All right. So, have you guys ever heard of pyramidology?
Is it the study of pyramids?
No, but that's a good guess.
Then no, I don't know.
You got any guesses?
Never heard of what it
Scar.
Is.
Scar.
I mean, the study of how the pyramids were, like, made and constructed.
That's
theory closer. Of it all.
Yeah, getting closer. So, pyramidology or pyramidism refers to, like, various religious or, like, pseudoscientific speculations regarding the pyramids themselves, how they were built, why they're there, why, you know, they're still there, all that stuff. So
I've seen a Ancient Aliens episode about this.
And that's what we're getting at. So, we're going to explore all of the mysteries and weird things that people about the pyramids. So I'm going to cover a couple of them because there's a lot of different things that people say about them. But so we're going to take a trip down the rabbit hole.
Good.
Yeah, and I'm going to try to get into this and really feel it, all right? So I'm going to try to convince you guys how the pyramids were actually built and what they actually are.
That reminded me of that clip that's on TikTok of from that Disney movie Radio Rebel, where Debbie Ryan does all that weird-ass acting. Mm-hmm. And she goes, like, she goes, listen to it, really, really dig on it. That's what I just thought of when you said that.
Yeah, so girlfriends, really, really dig on this.
Is there I know you're going to share the theories with us, but is there one you particularly, like, feel is true?
Sure, yeah. We'll get into it.
Okay, sounds good.
And pyramids themselves, so, like, this can be, like, the pyramids of Egypt. They can, like, the Great Pyramid of Giza. Pyramids in, like, from Mayan and Incan and, like, Aztec civilizations, as well as, like, some pyramids from, like, South Asia. And so we're going to get into that, but more of the theories are kind of swirling around, like, the pyramids of Giza and, like, the pyramid complex in Egypt.
Okay.
But they kind of overarch with everything. There's a view that, I don't know if I talk about it in my notes, but it's, like, that all cultures once were, like, one. Like, there was one culture. And then they all kind of, like, spread around to the different corners of the earth, like, via the sea.
So, like Pangaea?
That's what I was thinking.
Pangaea, yes. Or, like, people sometimes, like, refer to them as, like, so this was the Atlantean civilization. Like, this was Atlantis. And people traveled, they lived in the ocean, and they traveled by the ocean. But then whenever Atlantis fell or the culture spread onto the land in various different places, they both had the same... the same influence, cultural influence,
which would explain why there's pyramids in
Mexico and pyramids in Egypt and pyramids in Asia, but why they're so similar.
And around the same time period.
Are you going to talk about, like, how just, like, the sheer magnitude of, like, how big they are and, like, the building, like, because, like, this was before, like, forklifts and cranes and, like, how,
which we'll get into that. That's crazy. The big question. Mainly the theories are about the Giza pyramid complex, but a lot of pyramidologists think that the structures of, like, pre-Columbian America, like what we talked about with the Mayans and the Aztecs, as well as, like, such as, like, Teotihuacan and, like, the Inca and all that. So that's a specific
Teotihuacan.
Teotihuacan.
Sure.
Like Tenochtitlan.
Tenochtitlan.
Tenochtitlan. Yeah. Well, Aztec. Like,
Tilly. That was a good one.
See, that was like a wet fart.
Yeah, keep
Tilly,
that.
Tilly, I will.
Thank you, Tilly. That was your
contribution.
Yeah, it's because I was messing with her ears, and she was like, "Stop!"
She said, "You're tickling me."
She shook me off. It scared the fuck out of me. Thank God my anxiety meds kicked in, because I was like, "Shit!" Otherwise, that would have, like, I would have fucking run from the house.
So, some pyramidologists, i.e. me, I'm going to claim that the Great Pyramid of Giza was encoded within it predictions for the exodus of the Hebrews from Egypt.
What?
As well as the crucifixion of Jesus. All the way up to, like, the start of the World War I, or the founding of modern-day Israel in 1948.
What do you mean by, like...
And even it's the pyramid predicts the beginning of the end times, Armageddon, which we love.
What does...
All right, David Koresh, calm down.
Yeah, what do you mean encoded?
So there was a method that they found in the pyramids based upon how they measured that each of, like, I think the levels of the pyramid, because, you know, they're all blocks, like, stacked on top of each other. The levels of the pyramid, if you broke them down to, like, the inches, like, broke them down to inches and tied those inches, like, there were certain measurements that you could take.
Oh,
in inch
and their
form,
years?
And then they would correspond to a solar year, which is, like, one trip around,
like,
the sun,
that,
which is a year. That would also, like, each one of the rungs, like, they ended up on the years of all these things happening. So,
ugh,
like, you know, the exodus of
Scarlet's face.
The
it's
crucifixion,
like,
of Jesus,
with,
just, like, all the way down to the year, like, all those measurements stacked up to it, which is
Knowing.
Not a coincidence.
Nicolas Cage. Is Nicolas Cage in it? There's this movie called Knowing, and it's about this kid who is he in it? Yeah, Nick Cage. Okay, cool. Fuck him. Speaking of dirty little paws on everything, that's him. Look at his fucking face.
Yeah, he's in everything.
Fuck off, Nick Cage. Oh my god. Okay, anyway.
But listen, I think you've referenced this before. You referenced
Knowing?
Knowing, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Girl Friends, speaking if you know of the other episode.
Yeah, that's true. So, for those of you who have not heard it, I apparently talk about this shit all the time, but this movie, it's very similar.
I just think you've said it before, which is funny.
Okay,
we probably have talked about the end times.
I'm gonna say it again!
Yeah!
Okay, so The Knowing is about this movie where, like, basically this kid is... I just remember the one scene where the kid is in school and he's just, like, writing numbers and numbers and numbers and numbers. And, like, they end up looking at the numbers and, like, he's, like, predicts all these events with these numbers. So it's, like, 9/11 and blah, blah, blah. Like, and he has, like, all these numbers and they're, like, exact dates and times of these, like, world disasters and events. And it's, like, fucking crazy. So.
And how does that make you feel, Scarlett?
No, thanks.
Scarlett's face.
No, thanks.
You're, like, shaking your head over there, like, nope,
rejecting it.
I'm just, like, picturing, like, a little, like, 8-year-old just, like, furiously writing numbers and then people, like, realizing while it's happening that it's, like, all these dates and times.
Disney chills.
Ugh. Ugh. No, thanks.
Yeah, God. I don't know, like, I think any of that where it's, like, they don't realize the significance of it, and with kids in particular, where, like, they're telling a story or, like, kids don't lie. They don't. So, like, when they're telling, like, a story or whatever, and people are just like, yeah, okay, whatever, and they don't realize, like, it's significant. It's just crazy.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
No worries. So, in the 1880s, there's a guy, and I thought this guy's name is pretty cool, Ignatius.
That's hot.
Ignatius Donnelly.
You gonna put it on the baby
name
list?
He was one of the first people, yes. Yes.
Ignatius.
Ignatius Bryant. Fantastic. But anyway, in the 1880s, like, Ignatius Donnelly suggested that the Great Pyramid had been built by the descendants of the Atlanteans.
Atlanteans,
yeah. So, this was not, like, an old, or this is an old theory, pretty new in the fact that the pyramids are old, but, like, this is a established theory that people thought that the Atlantis civilization built the pyramids. But
okay.
Real quick, have you guys heard about aliens building the pyramids?
Yes, I've heard that. Because there's, like, some drawing, and there's some drawing of, like, some guy wearing a helmet. I've talked about this on the podcast, too. By the way, have you heard about that movie, Knowing?
No, I think you mentioned it before.
There's this drawing that I saw. It was on the Ancient Aliens episode. I think it's, like, the first episode that's about, or maybe that's about fucking crop circles. Anyway, they show this one drawing of this, like, ancient, it looks like an Egyptian god or something, but he's wearing what looks like a space helmet. And so people are like, okay, they knew about oxygen. Did I just step all over your little notes? I'm sorry.
No.
Were you about to say that?
Oxygen.
Oxygen?
Fuck.
Yeah, but you heard about aliens building the pyramids, right? Did you?
Yeah, I have. I just totally.
It's because it's fucking true.
I totally fucking sandbag you. I believe it.
But I thought it was the Atlanteans. It's the Atlanteans and the aliens.
This is the theory you believe.
Yeah.
You believe the aliens, not the aliens. Atlanteans.
Aliens!
Aliens!
Okay, tell me.
Alright. So, it's pretty common that people think that ancient astronauts built the pyramids, otherwise known as
aliens.
There it is.
Alright,
Several theories of aliens and the whole idea of aliens building stuff claim that the Great Pyramid of Giza was constructed by extraterrestrials themselves or influenced by them.
Oh.
So, the Great Pyramid has advanced numerological properties which could not have been known to the ancient Egyptians, which is, you know, kind of how the whole, like, prediction thing about being able to predict all these things.
So, in other words, they were knowing.
Oh, yep. My God.
And have you heard about the movie Knowing?
Oh, God.
I think Nick Cage is in that.
Man, he can't keep his dirty little paws off of anything.
No, not off this podcast.
Oh my god. The death grip Nick Cage has on this podcast. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, Nick Cage, please let go.
Nick Cage and Maria Menounos, show yourselves out. There's the door.
So, I'm trying to tie all
this back in. Desperately trying to keep it on track. Oh god, okay.
Yeah, so the Great Pyramid, though, like, has such advanced, like, properties and such advanced, like, it was too crazy for people back then to build. So it had to have been built, or passed down, or the information to build it, or had it been passed down by aliens, or aliens just freaking plopped it down themselves, and it's just like a freaking mothership.
Well, it's like Stonehenge, like, mechanically, it's just impossible.
Yeah, Stonehenge is just like a game controller for some alien monster.
Game controller.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to play the world with.
The pyramids are kind of like Legos for aliens.
No, I think it's like it's a ship.
Oh.
Yeah.
What? You're telling me that motherfucker can fly?
I bet it can. Anyway, so here's an interesting fact, right?
Okay.
The height of the pyramid of the pharaoh Cheops, or Cheops?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Sure.
Multiplied by a billion. Chaps? Yeah, the pharaoh asked his traps.
Was this Cheops?
He was well before his time.
He knew it was up.
That pharaoh slayed. Anyway,
the pharaoh magic Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Our
sorry.
Lord and Savior.
Our Lord pharaoh and magic Savior. Mike. The law says do not touch. I think I see a lot of law breakers out there.
Lord okay. preserve us. Aliens, if you're out there, come beam us up.
Anyway, yes, please.
So the height of the pyramid of the pharaoh Cheops was multiplied by, if you multiply that by a billion, all right?
Yeah.
Then it corresponds approximately to the distance between the Earth and the Sun.
Nope.
Coincidence? I think not.
Who fucking figured that out?
Me. The
kid from The Knowing?
It's from The Knowing. 2011 or whatever.
2009. Starring Nicolas Cage.
No, we're not doing this. The aliens had to have brought some advanced technology to help construct the pyramids. For instance, 2.5 tons is the weight of an average pyramid stone block. You know how much that is?
One block?
Yeah, one block. That's like a freaking F-150.
Oh.
But it's just like a block. You know how hard it is to like pull that up like a ramp?
It's like Tully. What? Firefly Lane.
Yeah,
it's like Tilly's head. She's got a little blockhead.
A blockhead. But yeah, there's no way. Like,
that's
no amount
insane.
Of, like, Egyptians could have pulled that up like a ramp or anything. And I've got some theories on how we could have done it, but
they had
no way.
Pulleys, but then even then they didn't have.
Yeah.
What were they, like,
but
hand?
But the pulleys
sure,
were
pulley
yeah, pulled by manpower.
Right,
manpower.
And then their hand weaving all of the ropes and shit like
yeah.
that. Like, the amount of
and
labor.
And they're making the pulleys out of, like, wood.
Yeah. It's impossible.
There's no way.
There's no way.
But, so, 8,000 tons
wow.
of granite, because that's what the pyramids were made
right.
out of, had to have been imported from the only granite quarry, which is located in Aswan, which is more than 800 kilometers away.
Wow.
So not only would they have had to pull it up the ramps,
they would have had to transport it
somehow. And the largest of the granite stones in the pyramid above the king's chamber were solid, like large stones that weigh from 25 to 80 tons.
Oh my god.
That's,
so wait, and how many stones?
That's 10 F-150s.
How many stones were in this entire pyramid? These, like, how many stones are we talking about hauling 800 miles?
8,000.
8,000.
Sure. I mean, it says 8,000 tons of granite. I mean, that's like 4,000, maybe 3,000 stones.
So I'm looking, I just looked this up because I wanted to know, like, is it possible that the pyramids were built much later than we think? And, like, it says that, oh, he explored the interior chambers of the Great Pyramid,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Giovanni Battista Caviglia was an Italian explorer who explored the Italian explorer who explored the interior chambers of the Great Pyramid in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. Wayman Dixon. That's another name for your list. Wayman?
What are you even talking about?
Ignate. Fucking asshole.
I thought we're talking about aliens here.
Babe. I know. I was trying to say, like, my theory, if you let me talk.
Fuck what you heard. Okay. These people didn't build the pyramids.
My theory is that,
they just explored them.
Is it possible?
Yeah.
Sorry, is it possible ahead. That that it was built much later than we think? That was what I was looking at.
Maybe.
Like, who fucking found out that they were there? What the fuck is
that? Aliens.
Probably the Egyptians would lay. The aliens just plopped them down.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No amount of slaves pulling ropes, dragging pulleys, whipping oxen, you know, any sort of, like, logs or anything could pull 80 tons of a granite stone 800 kilometers and less up a hill. Like, no amount of people could do that. There's no way.
No way.
No way.
Hmm.
Another theory tries to explain how the quarried stone could have been transported, which is by using water shafts.
Mm, I got your water shaft right. I was like, drawers. That sounds
dirty as hell.
You like the water shaft theory?
Oh, I do.
All right.
Wait, you were talking about...
The water shaft theory speculates that canal-like technology may have been used... not just to transport the blocks to the site, but to actually raise the blocks to the top of the pyramids as well. On the drive, I've got a little picture for you guys to describe to our listeners, as well as that can kind of help us explain what the water shaft theory is really talking about, because it's using basically flotation to then raise the blocks to where they need to go. So it's that one. So Grace, can you show Scar as well?
Okay. Weird.
So hold that.
They invented irrigation, so maybe it's something related to that, right?
So keep that up, and then I'll talk a little bit about the process, and then you guys can describe what you're seeing.
Okay.
So according to the water shaft hypothesis, flotations are attached to the stone block, and there's a gate that is open. So the block is fully submerged with something to keep it afloat.
Yeah.
To where it floats at the top of the water. So they have like a gate that they open. And the block is pushed into the shaft, and the shaft is like, I mean, how would you guys describe the shaft?
This being the shaft.
Lady, I thought you'd never ask.
Ladies, how would you describe the shaft? I thought
you'd never ask. This is the shaft right here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like Z-shaped, but it's going uphill. It's floating uphill.
Right.
I'm just, all I can think about is, what could float in water?
Wood.
A 40 ton, however many ton brick?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. Battleships like float in water.
Sure.
Yeah, like, I don't want to fucking talk about that.
Thousands of years later.
The fuck out of me.
What flotation devices are they attaching to this giant block to make it float?
You know what?
In the year of.
You know what? Probably alien flotation.
I was going to say.
Alien life jackets.
Hell yeah. That's
alien life jackets.
About.
Yeah.
That sounds like a sex move. The alien life jacket.
The alien life jackets.
But this water shaft looks like a video game where you're like.
It does.
Trying to move the block down the river.
Like a shitty bubble game.
You guys
remember like Cube Runner? You're like a runner? Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Or like a flash game that you play in
school. Like on the Atari or something.
Right, exactly. It's giving Emperor's New Groove. Is what it reminds me of with the network of water slides.
Yeah. You know what I'm
talking about? Yeah.
We haven't done a really good job of like explaining this, but you know, it's the shaft theory is great because it's a shaft theory, whatever. It's great, except, you know, aliens definitely help build.
Well, that sounds like a sex move.
So, I'm confused, though, in this, like, this block is floating. Cool, cool, cool. But, like, where is the pyramid? Like, is this the pyramid?
Yeah. So, the block, so they would transport the blocks probably by ship up and down a river, like, the Nile, potentially. And then they would float it down to like an irrigation trench that would then lead to several, like, you know how canals work? Like you fill up water in a canal and then you can raise a boat like up by raising the water level, and
but where are they getting
the canal,
all this?
The boat goes out, and then they drain the water in like the raising.
So, canal. Do they build the bottom of the pyramid and then build the water shaft?
Yeah. So
how do they build the bottom of the pyramid?
Like, is it underwater while they're building it?
It could be. I mean, they're using stones. Like, all they have to do is just like drain the water off.
The more I watch this, the more I'm convinced aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fucking crazy. I think we take modern engineering for granted.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Get it?
Yeah, engineer.
For granite.
For granite.
For granite.
Got it.
Nice. I just want to make sure everyone got it. It was a joke.
So now that we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
There's no way they could use water in this whatever theory, but it is a theory at least.
Okay.
But still, aliens.
Has this been like tested by like actual
I don't know.
Current engineers and stuff like that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. All right, moving on.
You know, fucking research.
Not that far.
It was your job, God.
It's aliens, okay? I'm trying to convince you.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm convinced.
That theory is bogus, right?
I was convinced before you showed me the little flash game. I'm on board.
All right, so next theory. Robert Balvol and Graham Hancock, 1996. What was that?
That laugh has got to go.
No, we're leaving it in.
Because you said Hancock and then you said giggity and no one else heard it. I think I heard it.
You heard it, cool friends. Anyway, so these two esteemed gentlemen have both suggested that the ground plan, or like the layout of how like the Giza pyramid and the three main Egyptian pyramids were physically established in 10,500 BC. But that the pyramids were built around 2,500 BC, which is 8,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
This theory was based upon their initial claims regarding the alignment of the Giza pyramids with Orion's Belt. Open the picture on the drive. Orion's Belt closely resembles the center of two pyramids, as well as like something that's tangential to the third pyramid. So, kind of describe what you're seeing.
Hey, Trev.
Mm-hmm.
What does tangential mean?
Tangential means like adjacent or along the like circumference or the outside of. So like the first two pyramids align perfectly with the star on their Orion's Belt, but the third pyramid is kind of slightly off kilter, but it's still along the edge of the third pyramid.
I see. Okay.
I mean, it literally, the star in the galaxy is at the perfect point of those first two pyramids.
I don't really understand like what is the...
So these three things are the pyramids, and like if you got to like a certain...
But is this like a view from the sky? Like
view
they
from
line
the sky,
up?
Exactly.
Oh.
Like if you're looking down at the pyramids and you measure where they are in regards to each other, like this one would be, or like one pyramid would be 30 feet from the other, or, you know, 300 meters from the other, up that way. If you look at it to scale,
yeah,
like on a drawing, like if you drawed it from looking down on the top, the layout of them would resemble the scale of the Orion's Belt.
Mm,
the constellation.
It's so weird.
But a lot of things
but you know
in that
why
time
it's weird?
Were done by the stars.
You know what?
Aliens?
You know what's in space?
Aliens.
Stars. You know what's in space? Also, aliens. That's right.
But you know, like, the sailors...
in Orion's Belt.
Aliens. Stars. What? What's in Orion's Belt?
Hancock.
He's pants to stiffy, just belted to stiffy.
He's got it belted to stiffy. He's got it tucked away.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Well, I just think, like, sailors and stuff at that time used, like, the stars to guide them. And, I mean, like, there are plenty of people that use the stars.
Or the sailors used aliens to guide them.
What are you, a skeptic now? What's going on?
No, I still believe aliens. I think this is interesting because
I like the idea of them like channeling the aliens. I mean, like, we know like people, like well-established people in society have been using the occult or like supernatural things to navigate the world and unknown subjects. I mean, like, in terms of like soothsayers and like fortune tellers and whatever, and psychics, and I feel like it's all related, it's all connected to that.
Connected by what? Aliens.
Yeah, the universe.
Exactly.
And who lives in the universe?
aliens.
Yeah.
Live in the universe.
And who else?
I actually really like God. That idea, Trev, of like Columbus.
God and anime.
Columbus what? getting like influenced by the aliens to like.
We sound fucking insane. We sound fucking insane.
It's fine. I'll bring it home. All right.
Okay, so okay.
The Great Sphinx is a colossal statue with the face of a man and the body of a lion,
right.
carved out of the surrounding limestone bedrock near the pyramids. It's 57 meters long, 6 meters wide, and has a height of 20 meters.
Translate.
It's 187 feet long.
Thank you.
20 feet wide.
Okay.
And has a height of 66 feet. So like
it's not that big.
But it's like a 6-story building.
So it's tall. It's just not that wide.
Mm-hmm. It's not that wide. But it's pretty long. Like it's almost like half a football field long.
187 feet?
It's like half a football field long.
That's 50 yards.
Pretty big.
I guess. It's smaller than I thought it was. I thought it was like in movies
limestone?
It looks enormous.
It's called the Great Sphinx.
Yeah.
And it's half a football field.
It's great for a reason.
Yeah, it's called the Great Sphinx, and it's fucking pathetic.
Listen. The Great Sphinx.
Colossal statue, my ass.
Listen, the Batman and the Great Sphinx. It's one of the world's largest and oldest statues.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Well,
yet, basic facts about it, such as the real-life model for the face, like who's it carved by? Like, who did they use to carve the face?
Maria Menounos.
Yeah, it's Maria Menounos.
And Nicolas Cage.
They're both time travelers.
Have you heard of The Knowing?
Have I heard of The Knowing? Are you talking about the film in 2009? With Nicolas Cage? And the kid that writes down a bunch of numbers?
Starring Sir Nicolas Cage.
Oh,
yes. Okay, who's it modeled after?
Okay, so there's a lot of facts we don't know about it, right? Like, who's the real life model for the face? And when and why it was built and by whom? Are debated. These questions have collectively earned the title The Riddle of the Sphinx, which is a nod to its Greek namesake.
Oh.
Right, because the Sphinx in Greek mythology, it would, I don't know,
ask
people questions and be like, people are like, man, I don't know, and it like ate them or something.
Have you heard of The Knowing?
That's what the Sphinx said.
That was the riddle.
Funny.
The Sphinx will say it's riddle.
Us. Everyone at home is like, stop!
All the cool friends are like, alright, I'm tired of knowing about the knowing.
We know about the knowing. Mm. Oh god, okay.
So, but an argument put forward by Bauvel and Hancock, Grace's favorite pyramidologist, they made an argument to support the Orion correlation theory, which is what we're talking about Orion's belt.
Right.
Is that the construction of the Great Sphinx had begun in 10,500 BC, which is where they thought the pyramid design had begun.
Okay.
And that the Sphinx lion shape is a definitive reference to the constellation of Leo. Mm. And that the layout and the orientation of the Sphinx, the Giza Pyramid Complex, and the Nile River are an immaculate conception.
Oh, nobody.
Immaculate conception.
The layout and the orientation of the Sphinx, the Giza Pyramid Complex, and the Nile River are an accurate reflection or map of the constellations of Leo, Orion, specifically Orion's Belt, and the Milky Way, respectively.
Weird.
Wow, that's crazy.
So they all kind of represent all sorts of different things. But also,
I hate it.
How did the Egyptians back there couldn't like look up in the sky without aliens?
You said, yeah.
Yeah.
How did, yeah.
I cannot stress this enough, but aliens.
You're right.
Right. Okay.
I think
you got any other theories?
I think you can stress it enough, and you have.
Yeah, but, all
right, Knowing, calm down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone.
Knowing, calm down.
Really, honestly, everyone
God.
Calm down. Because, like,
sorry,
okay.
Called the Menounos.
No, listen.
Okay, I'm listening.
So,
sorry.
So maybe the pyramids were built by the Egyptians.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Definitely there would have to have been a workforce of thousands of workers.
Right.
The tools they had to have used must have been crude or primitive, but they still were able to, like, quarry and cut the stones into blocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even though we can't see the ramps they use today to transport the stone, Because they were never there because aliens did it.
Right. Yeah, you would think, like, if they really did use, like, pulleys and ramps and stuff, as many, like, random pots and all kinds of stuff that the archaeologists find, that they would find these ramps and pulleys and stuff like that somewhere in the architecture of the pyramids.
If I mean, I'm thinking, like, how they would make ropes or whatever. Like, they probably...
How they make ropes?
Yeah, they probably made them out... Fuck off, all of you. They probably made them out of, like linen, right?
No, honestly... Yeah, you were saying braided hair earlier. Like, hair is so strong. Like, side goob that. Hair can hold, like a lot of weight.
What a weird...
I'm really... What a
weird... Scarlett's like, listen, hair, man. It's super good.
How strong is hair? A tensile strength of around 200 to 260 MPa, which is comparable to steel.
Fucking hell.
See?
What the fuck? You could carry a person with 500 to 1,000 human hairs.
Whoa.
See? Hair is strong.
You got me on board. I'm passionate.
All right. Hair is strong.
Well, friends, listen.
You, the pyramids may not have been built by the aliens, but I'll tell you this. Hair is strong.
Hair was used.
Hairs.
It might have been like some fine alien hair, you know.
Fine alien hair. I thought they were hairless and slippery, like a dolphin.
Maybe.
It's slippery.
Hairless and slippery.
Slippery. But okay, wait. I digress. Okay. Because
that's all we've been doing.
I do think with the research that I did, I do think it could be possible for the pyramids to be built by people.
What?
I do.
How?
And I'll explain.
Okay.
What I'm about to say is kind of a testament to how humans are able to, like, kind of accomplish anything, right? So, earlier I said that the origin of the granite...
We can't stop a pandemic from killing everyone, but whatever. Sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
Bring it down.
Sorry.
Bring it down.
Okay, go ahead.
Earlier I said that the origin of the granite that was used to build the pyramid was quarried from 800 kilometers away.
Right.
Well, the pyramids were actually made mostly of limestone. And a limestone quarry has been found 100 meters away from each one of the pyramids.
Oh, well, so you left that out.
Exactly. They dug in. I may have tricked you a little bit, girlfriends. Don't
what a fucking waste of my time.
Just listen, all right?
Scarlett, you want to start a podcast? I'm just kidding, buddy.
You want to?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
what a fucking long pause.
Yeah, wait to bring it down anyway.
General long pause.
General long pause.
General Hancock.
Yeah.
That's okay, your baby name list. Hancock long pause.
Hancock long pause.
Ignatius Hancock.
Long pause for a little bit of a Hancock.
Brian.
Okay. Yes, Brian.
Yeah. But, okay. So I may have done a little bit of misdirection there, but anyway, evidence also had been discovered of work camps for the massive amount of workers that had been found, as well as evidence to show that there were dining halls to feed the workers, as well as apothecaries to treat the on-the-job accidents.
Wow. I'm sure there were many.
So there was
progressive.
There was like a whole community and stuff there to build the pyramids.
It's been 10,000 years since our last accident.
even cemeteries had been discovered to show that the pyramids were generational in their construction.
Oh.
So there's been a lot of things to come out that have kind of debunked this like 1980s, 1990s theory of like...
Cemeteries?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think those existed. Like, I thought that was like a relatively modern...
Burial grounds, cemeteries.
I mean, they buried the pyramids.
They may have different names, but
yeah,
like...
but those were like tombs. That's different. Like, right. Cemetery... Tombs! Cemeteries, right. I think, like... I don't know. Like, I think of that as like an 18th century kind of deal. Like, where they had to... established places. It's like where they had the catacombs in France because they ran out of space in the cemeteries. It's like kind of like that. Like there had to be a logistical reason why cemeteries.
But then again, think about who we're talking about. Like the Egyptians, like they embalmed the dead and they had these like burial ceremonies and all these other things,
right.
That would like they honored the dead
with
by
linen.
That. So with linen, yeah, wrapped them up.
So cemeteries are new. I'm just as passionate as Scarlett was.
Yeah, no. So, but I think it all boils down to this, that the pyramids were a means of developing the Egyptian people into like a strong society, civilization, however you want to say it, because they gathered around them to make these like insane structures, and then it brought them together to be able to accomplish anything. So how can you be an Egyptian civilization and like to your enemies, you've erected these giant works of like architectural like craziness, so like they can literally do anything. It's like almost a testament to humanity at that point.
And very phallic.
Phallic. Yeah, I don't know.
The Egyptians had big brick energy.
Big brick energy. Sheesh.
By the way, I just Googled the cemetery thing. In Europe, churchyards were frequently used to bury the dead, a tradition that found its way to America. It wasn't until the 18th century that planned public park-like areas began to become popular as cemeteries in the United States. So I guess they weren't formalized?
I think cemeteries was a bad word. But a place to bury their dead is really well, I'm saying.
No.
Formalized?
It's not a word.
It's not a word.
They weren't made formal?
They weren't. Okay. Yeah, whatever. Daughter of an English teacher. Meanwhile, I am an English teacher.
Well, formalize. Word, but I don't know if it's okay. The right word.
Gaslighter. It was a joke. Okay, go ahead.
The construction of the pyramids encouraged not only building techniques, but it encouraged civil service to develop and coordinate all the workers, the development of boats to ship timber or stone, medical skills to deal with accidents, as I said previously, and possibly increased sense of community. So it was probably a huge part of Egyptian life.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, even without the aliens, that totally built them science as lies, and conspiracies are definitely real.
Love it.
So yeah, that's all I have. Just a little quick thing about pyramids. It could be aliens. I don't know. It's up for you to decide, cool friends, but there's been lots of research and other things done, and different discoveries have started to come up about the pyramids, as well as, like, there's been people who, I read something, I can't remember what it is, cool friends, you'll have to find this out for yourself, but there's apparently a project that'll be completed, or it's either slated to begin in 2025, or it'll be completed by 2025. They're creating a smaller scale pyramid.
Oh.
And it's like a project to build it now and see what it could take with like primitive tools, modern tools, and everything else, as to give them to give people an understanding of how they built it back then. So we're gonna somewhere, that's, and it so said cool. That the location hasn't been defined yet, so maybe it hasn't even started. But some sort of like anthropological group is gonna do that to try to help get a better understanding of the pyramids and stuff.
That's cool.
I think it's cool.
Maybe they'll try the water shaft theory.
They probably will.
I'm really curious about that. Like, someone has to have tried that. Or maybe they haven't, and that's what they're going to do.
Well, it is a theory that they think that they actually used, which I know we kind of blew it off, but it's a little bit more in-depth and cool friends. If you really want to find out, do some Googling about that, because it's kind of hard to explain, because it involves, like, buoyancy and, like, and you have, like, the properties of water and how you can, like, close a gate here and keep the same volume of water there and like float it up using air. I don't know. It's a little complicated, but it could have been a plausible theory because they are near the Nile. I know they're in like the desert, but this is like the Nile River Delta, maybe, or at least near the Nile River. So,
but did they, those sort of like irrigation, like water shaft things, were they like, is there evidence that they were there in the building process?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, it would seem like they couldn't be, because otherwise you would have water all around the pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and they're consistently finding new things. Like, I think there was the discovery of the quarries that were, like, meters away from the pyramids was huge.
Yeah. Right?
As well as, like, the different things. Like, they were finding work camps and other things like that. So,
so
as they dig into the sand, they're uncovering more and more of the history.
Can you explain the relationship, or like the connection to limestone versus granite? Because I know you said the granite quarry was farther away, right?
That was the whole thing that like conspiracy theorists use, as like the granite, the closest granite quarry was 800 kilometers away.
But the majority of the pyramid. To be able to supply
that much granite into the pyramids.
But the majority of the pyramid, she told me. Okay, so girlfriends, I just read Firefly Lane because of Scarlett's recommendation. And the main character's name is Tully, so I keep calling Tilly Tully. That's fine.
That's okay. Anyway,
Tilly just twitched so violently, it like scared me. I thought she was, I don't know what I thought was happening.
She was in dreamland.
She's having a night dream.
Yeah, so, but you said the majority of the pyramids like makeup is limestone? Or is it granite?
I think so. I mean, in my research, as I was like getting out of the conspiracy lane, because I was getting more and more curious about like what we've actually discovered and what people like talk about in the pseudoscience world or whatever versus the scientific world, is that they were mostly constructed out of limestone, but granite was also used in the construction, but just not like the outside physical construction. It might have been used in like the tomb portions, like in the different chambers on the inside, which if it was one of the like 80 ton stones that were like above the king's chamber, I still don't really know how that works. If that was granite, then I don't see how anyone's gonna get an 80 ton stone down the river 800 kilometers. I don't know, there's a lot of things that I don't know that it would take more and more research, but there's like articles and like scholarly journals about all this stuff too.
Yeah.
Just like people's lives work trying to figure out how the pyramids were built.
So weird.
Which is interesting, but you know, it's kind of like the birds aren't real stuff. Like you can get as deep as you want to.
I love that one so much.
Yeah.
I just remember, man, took to the skies. That's what I remember you saying. So. Yeah. Oh God. But, yeah, wow. You know what?
Like I said, science is lies and conspiracies are real.
Right. This conspiracy in particular. Clearly.
Wow. I feel like maybe we just don't understand enough about it or know how to make sense of it, that it's just easier to say it was aliens than try to like make it make sense in our brains.
Yeah, and I think that's what drives the conspiracy thing. It's like if you don't do enough research or to read enough articles or think about or have the knowledge or the brain to wrap around it, then the easiest thing to do is just say aliens.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun to think about, and it may have been true. Who knows? There may actually be aliens. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows about the 2009 film?
I'm just saying it was Nick Cage, and there's no it's an awfully big coincidence that his name keeps coming up again and again.
Yeah, it's borderline obsession.
He built the pyramids. Nick Cage girlfriends. Is an alien. Thanks for Cage, isn't it? He looks like a fucking alien. God, I want to know who he's probed.
Love you, Nick Cage.
Yeah.
You're welcome on the podcast anytime, Nick Cage.
Ew, can you imagine him sitting there?
It would be interesting, to at least.
He's probably just like, he's such a smooth person. Like, not smooth, like.
Charismatic?
Yeah, no, not like that. Like, his face is just like smooth. Like that's why I said the Sphinx, because he just looks like he was like polished. Oh. He's just strange. He looks like handsome Squidward. Like just slippery. Slippery!
Somebody's got to be slippery.
Slimy. Oh, God.
Stay slippery, girlfriends.
Stay slippery.
Stay slippery.
Oh, that's our thing. No, I don't want that to be our thing.
No, I would love that for our girlfriends.
We'll workshop it. I'm sure you would. Okay.
All the girlfriends can stay slippery.
Girlfriends, thanks for tuning in.
Wow,
crazy. It sounds like I didn't mean it. I was like, wow, crazy.
Wow.
Who could believe it?
Yeah, what a fucking follow us and whatever, it doesn't matter. No, Scarlett joined us today, so thank you for that, Scar.
I'm honored.
Good. Tilly's freaking out. She's like moving around. Follow us on Instagram at Where Murder Meets Mystery. I never post, but please follow us. And Trevor, where can they email us?
Where can they email us, Scar?
WhereMurderMeetsMystery@gmail.com, baby.
She knows it.
Great.
True awesome. Girlfriend over there.
True girlfriend.
Love you, buddy.
Never. Love you, too.
She married into Where Murder Meets Mystery.
She did.
True dat.
Yes. So, that's all we have, right?
That's all we got, girlfriends. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. We love ya.
Love ya.
Bye.
Stay slippery.
Slippery.
Watch Knowing.
Call your dad.
Watch the 2009 film Knowing.
Starring Nick Cage. Okay, bye.
Bye.